Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And while you find your way there, when I joined the military back in 1976 and went in on delayed enlistment in 1977, when I got to Marine Corps boot camp, they had me come and stand out on some footprints, you know, took me through the thing, haircut, you know how it is. Anybody's been in the military, give you new equipment, you know, new clothing, take your others, you put them away someplace, and they kept them, gave me a new uniform. And eventually I received an M16A1 rifle. Even to this day, I can describe it. It was magazine fed, it's gas operated, it's an air-cooled shoulder weapon with automatic and semi-automatic capabilities. It's been since 1982, going on 35 years, that I have been out of the Marine Corps, I guess, 33 years that I have been out of the Marine Corps, and I can still remember some things. Got it in September of 82. So I can still remember that weapon. Why? Because once I got the weapon, they taught me how to use it. Now, you can have a powerful weapon, but if you don't know how to use the weapon, then you're not going to be able to hit your target properly. When I first started with the M16, and we were, you know, about 200 yards away, and I couldn't hit the bullseye, just couldn't. And so I had an instructor who came over to me, and he told me to take a bullet. And so I took a bullet. Matter of fact, it was a real bullet. It wasn't a toy thing. Real bullet. And he said, okay, I want you to move this just a little bit. And it was my rear sight. I had to move my rear sight. And you had a little plunger, I guess you want to call it, and you had to kind of push it and then move it. And I did it with the thing. And then he said, all right, shoot. And he would stand over me. I'd shoot. He'd come a little bit closer. And then he told me, okay, adjust it a little bit more. And then after a while, I could get in there. Not all of them, you understand what I'm saying, but I could get in there. What happened was they taught me how to use the weapon that I had. And then I had to, on my own, learn how to perfect it. And I told you at one time, once, you know, after I graduated from boot camp and, you know, the whole nine yards, that when I was in, you know, what we call the regular Marine Corps, now we're out of boot camp, that you had to qualify with your rifle ever so often, your weapon. And one time I came in number one out of everybody. I got 232 out of 252, excuse me, out of 250 possible points. I was hitting bullseyes all over the place. You know what had happened by that time? I had learned how to use that weapon in a masterful way. Not only my breathing, but how I pulled the trigger, how I held the front part of the weapon, the barrel, how I would lock my elbow in, how I would have my sight figured in. I had perfected it. Now see, what I'm going to give you tonight is going to be the beginning of a mini-series that I'm going to be doing, showing us how to use one of the most effective weapons that God has ever given us at our disposal. But if we don't on our own put into practice what I'm going to give us through this mini-series, then we won't hit the target. We'll just be all over the place. I want you to be able to hit the target so that when you talk to God, you have confidence to know that he's going to send the target up and put a white bullseye right in front of it to let you know. Now, if you weren't in the military, you probably don't know what I'm talking about. But it's something that you hold up to let someone know that you hit the target. I want you to be able to talk to God in such a way that you know that God is going to move on your behalf. And I want you to be able to see results. We are to, on a weekly basis, have something that we could give a testimony about. And I'm not saying you got to do it in the service. I'm saying, but we ought to have something on our lips that we ought to be able to give a testimony about that God did, how he answered prayer, how he moved, how he worked. And others ought to be able to see God moving and answering our prayers. Those in your home, those on the workplace, those in your neighborhood, your brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to speak tonight on the subject, first sermon, how to pray for those you love. How to pray for those you love. You love somebody, I'm going to show you tonight how to pray for them. That's the first message in this mini-series. The next message in the mini-series will be, well, if you know, you come and tell me. But by the next time, we'll have it. God will give it to us. We're going to do a mini-series. That's the way these things work. Colossians chapter 1, notice verse 1 down through verse number 9a. We'll get the mind of God and get what we need for the next one. Don't worry about that, as we do all the time, by his grace and with his help, and we give him the glory. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1 down through verse number 9. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. Now, there are four words in that first verse, the will of God. Keep that in mind, because you're going to hear that again. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learn of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Matter of fact, he started the church, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. I'm going to stop right there. I'm not going to read anymore because we'll draw our points from the latter verses. Again, how to pray for those you love. Let's get some help. Father, thank you tonight. Father, we thank you for how you blessed in the earlier service today in Mocksville. Father, thank you for how you came down and moved, and Father, how your Spirit moved, and Father, how people were helped, and Father, for all the souls who raised their hands that they had trusted Christ as their Savior. Father, we give you the glory for that. But now, Father, we turn our attention to this time and this hour, and I pray, Father, that you would help us to leave this building knowing how to use this weapon of prayer and knowing how to pray for those that we love. Father, please give me the fullness of your Spirit. Give me an extra measure tonight. Help me and strengthen me. And Father, please give all of us ears to hear and a heart to heed in Jesus' precious name. And all the people of God said, amen. Amen. Well, you know, prayer is a tremendous weapon, as I've already stated. And I will tell you this, I honestly believe that one of the reasons why I am here tonight is because I had a grandmother who knew how to pray and prayed for me on a constant basis. Now, you might ask the question tonight. You say, preacher, I've got some people that I love dearly. How can I pray for those people? Well, I'm going to share with you in just a moment how to pray for those people, because it could be your children that you need to pray for, your parents that you need to pray for, or your relatives that you need to pray for, or a Christian brother or sister in Christ, or your spouse that you need to pray for. How do you pray for people that you love? One thing that Paul was enamored with, one thing that was an active part of Paul's life, was not only the proclamation of the gospel, but it was praying for the saints. If you look at verse number 3, Paul said, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Now, Paul hadn't been to this church. Paul did not start this church, but now Paul is writing to this church because he's getting the news from Epaphras about what is going on. And in verse number 9, he says, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, not that we were there to see what you've been doing, but he said, from the time that we heard it, notice what Paul said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, do not cease to pray for you. So now the question is, see, Paul was not one of these people who just started spraying all over the place. Paul was zeroed in on some things, and Paul was praying specifically about some things. And so how do you pray for those whom you love? Well, the same way he prayed for those at Colossae. Number one, Paul prayed that they would know the will of God. Let me say it again. Paul prayed that they would know the will of God. Now, notice Colossians chapter 1, and I want you to notice verse number 1 again. Paul said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. Now, Paul said that he was an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. See, Paul knew what it was to be in the will of God and operate in the will of God. And sometimes a person will think, well, when I am in the will of God, then that means that I will not have any problems in my life. No, you still have things that you have to deal with when you're in the will of God, but it's a whole lot better to deal with them while you are in the will of God than to be dealing with them outside of the will of God. You see, but preacher, you said that you're going to tell me how to pray for those that you love. Well, let me ask you a question. I named several people, but I did not name one person. Say, who was that, preacher? You. Let me ask you a question. Do you love yourself? All right. Well, then, by the way, if you don't love yourself, then you're going to have a hard time loving other people. Jesus said we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. So you got to love yourself before you can ever reach out and love other people like you need to. And I don't want to deviate from the thesis that I have here. But we must get to the place to where, hey, man, we love who we are, accept ourselves. We are accepted in the beloved. We have to get to the place to where we love ourselves. So when we're praying for other people, don't forget to pray for ourselves. Look at verse number 9. Now watch this. Paul said, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Now watch this. And to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul loved these people, and Paul was praying that they would literally know the will of God for their lives. Listen, Paul could have prayed that they would not go into persecution. Paul could have prayed that they would prosper. Paul could have prayed that for some political or social power. But no, Paul prayed that they might know the will of God for their lives. Because Paul knew that to know the will of God would put them right in the place of the blessings of God. You want your children to be blessed. You want your mates to be blessed. You want your mother and your father and others to be blessed. Pray that they know and do the will of God for their lives. Years ago, when I was young, in my 20s, got saved at the age of 20. But back during the time when I was saved, you would have brothers and sisters who would talk to you and say, man, what's the will of God for your life? What do you plan on doing with your life? And literally would challenge you. It just was not left up to the pastor to challenge you. You had brothers and sisters in Christ who would literally challenge you concerning the will of God for your life. And I thank God that I had pastors that would challenge me to know God's will for my life. But sometimes we pray for things on the outside. But if we could get the center right, everything else would be okay. And there are a lot of people who have no earthly clue as to what the will of God is for their life. And so you can pray for those you love that they would know the will of God, and God can reveal it. Sometimes it'll be through a radio program. Sometimes it will be through reading of the Word of God. Sometimes it will be they will come into a service and God will get a hold of their heart. Sometimes it could be a brother or sister. It could be a door that just opens up and they know it's the will of God. I have no doubt about it. But when we pray that they know the will of God, it literally opens up things. Because today a lot of people have the knowledge of what's going on in the world, a knowledge of sports, a knowledge of how to be successful in business. They have a knowledge of that brings literally academic recognition. They have all of the degrees, but yet are not operating in the will of God. Do you know that if a person is not operating in the will of God, then they're a failure? The will of God is the most important thing, because see, once you know the will of God, then God starts working things out on your behalf. When you know it and you get right in the middle of it, God will just work things out. Can you excuse me for just a minute and tell the story that some of you know? I'll piggyback on what I said earlier. Listen, there was a time when I was challenged to know the will of God for my life, and there'd be times when I would go out and just walk. I'm talking about as a 22-year-old young man and a 23-year-old young man. Matter of fact, I got out of the military 1 month after my 23rd birthday. But there were times I would go and just walk at night. On Saturday nights, I would be walking around that base and just talking to the Lord, getting his will for my life and letting him talk to me. I could say something about that, but I'll save that for another time. And then just letting him talk to me. And then, man, I had a peace. And see, when you make a decision and you know you're in the will of God, God will give you a peace that passes all understanding. And God gave me a peace that he wanted me to walk away from the Marine Corps. The person who had said this is going to be my career. A person who ate and drank and slept. Marine Corps, you know what I've told you. But then when I knew that was God's will, I was willing to turn away and walk away from that, walk away from the retirement. By the time I was 19 years old, I told you I was already an E5, not an E1, not an E2, not an E3, not an E4, but an E5. I graduated from boot camp the day before my 18th birthday. And by the time I was 19 years old, I was a sergeant. I only had four more stripes that I could get, four more degrees that I could move up. But I knew that's what God's will was, and I was challenged in that area, and God gave me peace about it. And you heard me tell a little while ago, once I got out, I needed a job making $5 an hour to make what I was making in the Marine Corps. Doesn't sound like a lot now, but that was decent back then. And God gave me a job making exactly $5 an hour. I got out of the military, operating in the will of God. In September, I got a job. For the end of September, 2 weeks later, as I shared, I had a job. And then that same month of October, as I told you, a beautiful young lady came to that church. In case you don't know who she is or where she is, you don't have to look any further than the front row right there. Amen? That was in October. By that December, I'd already made my move. Amen? I'd already made my move by December and asked her to start dating me. And then that was the end of 82. And then in December of 84, we got married. And by the way, a few months later, in 83, God called me to preach. Here's what I'm saying. Because I operated in the will of God, God gave me the thing that I had been the things that I had been praying for. God gave me the job that I need. God gave me the wife that eventually that I needed. Then he did something I didn't know he was going to do, and then he called me to preach. Now, I fought that, but he called me to preach. And finally got in that part of his will. And on I could go. Listen to me. Pray for those that you love. Pray specifically that they would know the will of God for their lives. Pray that your children know God's will. Don't just pray for prosperity, or don't just pray for a good job, or don't just pray for a mate. Now, I didn't say don't pray for those things. I said don't just pray for those things, but pray that they know the will of God for their lives. And see, when they know the will of God, then God will work on their behalf, because now they're operating where God wants them to, because God wants all of us to know the will of God. That's why he said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and verse number 2, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He said, and be not conformed to this world. Don't be pressed in this world's mold, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The safest place you can be is in the will of God. The best place a person can be is in the will of God. Pray, pray, pray that they know God's will and get into it. Oh, I said Paul prayed that they would know God's will. Here's the second thing you need to pray for. You need to pray. And Paul prayed this way. Paul prayed that they would know how to walk. Paul prayed that they would know how to walk. So you ought to pray for those you love. Pray that they would know how to walk. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 10. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 10. He goes on to say that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. By the way, he's telling them that this is what I'm praying for constantly, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Notice the first part, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. See, verse number 9 speaks about they're getting a spiritual understanding. And see, a spiritual understanding will cause them to be able to walk worthy of the Lord. We heard it in the prayer just a little bit ago. See, we are to walk a certain way. We're to have a testimony. And see, you pray for those that you love that they would walk worthy. Walk worthy. Now, let me hasten to say, if your children aren't saved, are not saved, if your mate isn't saved, then there's one way to pray for that person, and you pray that that person would repent and receive Christ as their Savior and get born again. But I'm talking about people who profess to know Christ. See, we've got to pray that they walk worthy. Now, here's the problem when you start praying like that. When we start praying like that, it's sometimes it's like the sheep that goes astray. Sheep goes astray too much, and after a while, you've got to break the leg. Sometimes when you start praying like that and you start saying, Lord, help them to walk worthy. And by the way, that ought to be the prayer. But if they're walking in an unworthy manner, then sometimes God will bring some negative circumstances in their lives to help them to walk worthy. Which means, and this is where tough love comes in, which means that if you're praying, oh God, help them to walk worthy, and then all of a sudden negative things come in their life to get them to walk worthy, then don't bail them out. I need to say that again. Don't bail them out. Let God do his work on them. Because see, if you bail them out, then you're not helping them. Matter of fact, you're thwarting what God is trying to do. And sometimes one of the hardest things to do is to pray the right way for those that you love. And sometimes we've got to get down and say, oh God, help my son to walk right. Help my daughter to walk right. Help my mate to walk right. Help my brother to walk right. Help my sister to walk right. Worthy of you. Father, work in their lives. Oh, listen to me. A worthy walk will bring the blessings of God upon your life. Sometimes we want the blessings, but you can't get the blessings without walking worthily. But oh, when you're walking the right way, God has a way of dropping things in your path. And a lot of times you just have to think about something, and God will bless you with it. Can I testify? This may sound, and by the way, don't misunderstand me, because you know I'm not trying to lift self up, but I will say this. I try to walk worthy of him. I honestly do. I try to walk by this book. I try to live by this book. Even things I don't like, I try to do it. Because see, the worthy walk means it's not just the stuff in here that you like to do. Sometimes you've got to walk worthy in areas where you might not want to operate. But when you do it, God will bless. Which leads me to say, I didn't have this in here, but I've got to say it since it came to my mind. Part of that worthy walk is you got to learn what it is to let people go, forgive people, turn things over to the Lord, and walk straight. Because if you harbor it, you hold on to it, you keep it, and you don't turn it over to the Lord, and you don't forgive, then God said, if you don't forgive, I don't forgive. And God is saying, if I don't forgive, then that means you're not going to get your prayers answered like you need to. Jeremiah said, your iniquities have taken away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. So see, sometimes we got to pray, because sometimes, like I said, we can pray for our brother and pray for our sister and pray for our mates and pray for those we love, but we got to pray for ourselves too. And sometimes you got to let some stuff go. I didn't have that in there, but sometimes you just have to let it go. Don't let it affect you. And I could stop and give you testimony about what I'm talking about. Stuff that even goes on. Not somebody who's here. Not people here, but just stuff that goes on. But you know what I got to do? And matter of fact, and what I do? Turn over to the Lord. Turn over to the Lord. Turn over to the Lord. Can I tell you something? And I only say this because I'm not honest, not upset. I got somebody out there who calls around to preachers that I know saying negative things about me. Say, how do you know? Because the preacher called me. Called my pastor down in South Carolina. Called pastor over in Mississippi. You know what I do? Forget it. That's been going on since last year. I just mentioned it now. You want to know why I come here with joy in my soul? Hey, because I ain't going to let it affect me. Matter of fact, I've seen the person. Didn't say a thing. Amen. You know what I'm saying? Just go on. Hey, ain't going to say a thing. You want to know why? Because here's what I'm saying. I've come too far with the Lord to get tied up with stuff. I want to walk worthy of the Lord. I want God to be able to answer my prayers. I want to just desire something and see him do it. And by the way, the person not making me look bad, making themselves look bad, because both of them who go. And but anyway, I ain't going to go any further. But they said something wrong with that person. I said, yeah, something wrong with it. Just go on and leave it. And there's other things I could say, but I just leave that alone. Here's the first thing I was getting ready to say. I wasn't going to testify about that. That just came up. All that other forgiveness stuff just came up. He's not going to testify. It may sound simple. It may sound crazy. But this is what I'm talking about. I need a mirror, a big mirror. When I say a mirror, I'm talking about a big mirror. Wanted one over 6 feet tall and got one. 6.5 feet tall. 3.5 feet wide. I wanted to turn it sideways and mount it on the wall at home. A little workout area where we got. You want to know how much I paid for a mirror like that? And I've seen them, $400. Big money. How much I paid for it? $35. $35! Our son Seth was in the house. He said, I paid $80 for, a mirror like this. We're just rejoicing. I mean, he wasn't being critical. He was just rejoicing. You understand what I'm saying? That may sound simple, but that's something that I wanted. And I could stop and tell you one thing after another, after another, after another, after another. You understand what I'm saying? So here's the point I'm trying to make. Okay, Paul prayed that they would know how to walk. Galatians 5:16, don't turn there, but it says walk in the Spirit. In other words, live by the Spirit. See, the Spirit will lead and guide in all truth. Ephesians 5:2 says walk in love. That means that you've got to treat other people the right way. Matter of fact, not only just the good, but you got to treat the froward too. You do. You can't hold anybody on the hook. Because if you're holding somebody on the hook, then you can't pray for the other ones that you love. Let it go. I don't even know why I'm saying this, but there's evidently a reason for it because it's not here, and I keep coming back to it. But let it go. You say, what if it comes to my mind? Then let it go. Because it's going to come to your mind because you're human. It does. But what you got to do? Let it go. Throw it away. Treat it just like you would treat a snake. You're not going to play with it. If you pick up a piece of wood and a snake in it, guess what? You're not going to say, I'm going to meditate on this for a while. No, you know what you're doing? It's going that way, and you're probably going that way to get a hole or something. You have to treat it that same way. Listen, Paul prayed that they would know how to walk. Ephesians 5:8 says, walk as children of light. See, that means our step needs to be ordered in God's word. We need to walk like as if we are the lower lights that we are. We're not children of darkness. We're children of light. And you ought to be praying for those you love. Pray that they would walk worthy of the Lord. Oh, listen, we ought to continue to pray for those that we love. You got to pray that they would know God's will. Pray that they would know how to walk. And then lastly, number three, Paul prayed that they would know God well. Paul prayed that they would know God well. Colossians 1:10b. He said, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Listen, Paul wanted them to know God more intimately. And see, we ought to pray that they would grow in the knowledge of God. By the way, that's a good thing to pray for a young convert, that they would grow in the knowledge of God. Because see, the more you know about God and you're growing in that knowledge, the more it will transform you. The Bible says in the book of Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Listen, you can pray that they would literally know God well. In Philippians chapter 3, I won't have you to turn there, but verse 7 down through verse number 10, Paul's great desire was that he would know him. And right in the midst of those verses, Paul begins to talk about the things that he was willing to give up so that he could gain something. Then Paul said, you know something? I have a desire that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformed conformable unto his death. Paul had a burning desire to know the Lord. See, you got to pray for those you love. Pray that they would know God well. Parents, don't just pray for your children to be successful. Don't just pray for your brother or sister in Christ to be successful. I didn't say you can't do that, but just don't allow that to be all. The number one thing you ought to be praying is pray that they know God well. And if they know God well, then you will find out that everything else will flow from that. A lot of times we're working on the symptoms instead of dealing with the problem. Because see, when a person gets into this book and knows God and learns about God, then they learn what God has to say in his word about how they are to walk, how they are to conduct themselves, learn more about God, learn more about faith, and then they can put those things in their lives and God can bless them, because God blesses us according to how we are in this book, meditating in this book, learning about him. I don't have to quote the scripts. I quote them often, but you can look at Psalm 1, 1 through 3. You could look at Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8, and they talk about prospering. Prospering. I've quoted them enough. I don't have to quote them tonight. So we ought to be praying for those. You love somebody? Pray that they would get to know God well. Wouldn't it be wonderful if maybe somebody that you start to pray for, and all of a sudden they may give you a phone call and they talk to you and say, you know something? Now, I'm serving God now. I'm learning some things about God now. I mean, God is just really working in my life, and I had to tell somebody. And so they called you. And after you wake up from off the floor, you pick the phone back up. Here's what I'm saying. You love somebody, then you pray that they operate in the will of God. And God will bless them. You pray that they would know how to walk worthy. And you pray that they would know God well. You pray like that, and you see if God doesn't work in their lives. I'm telling you, it'll work. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but it'll work. But I believe in giving them flowers while they're here. And I could talk about you in this room. Good stuff. Don't worry about it. I'm not talking about bad stuff. I'm doing good stuff. I could talk about it. I could just call different people in this place. You walk worthy. You do what's right. And I'm telling you, God will bless you, and you will not have to be old for him to bless you. But yet he can bless you when you're old. And you don't have to worry about it. In other words, he can bless you at any time. If you just walk the worthy walk, I'll tell you what you do. You pray those three things for yourself and for others that you love, and then let God do his work. We know how to pray for people now. We just got to put it into practice. Let's bow for prayer.